Welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller, and today we're going to be talking about the liver health, liver healing diet, some ideas on what you can do to improve your liver health. And in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking with Dr. Kate Rehan-Blue about some of the new things that are surfacing in regards to naturopathic health. But before we do that, here's Reg with the health news.
Depression in older adults appears to significantly increase the risk of a stroke, even after depression symptoms have gotten better, a new study suggests. The researchers found people who had severe symptoms of depression were more than twice as likely to have a stroke as those with no symptoms. The study's authors say people who had symptoms at the first interview but had gotten better by the second interview still had a 66% higher stroke risk. Although how stroke and depression might be linked isn't clear, the researchers say other research has shown depression increases the risk of high blood pressure, abnormalities in the nervous system, and increased inflammation. The report was published online May 13th in the Journal of the American Heart Association. New research contends a cheap and easily available vitamin supplement appears to reduce a person's risk of skin cancer. According to Australian researchers, a form of vitamin B3 called nicotinamide is linked to a reduction of non-melanoma skin cancers by 23% when taken twice daily. Nicotinamide costs around $10 for a month's supply and is available at pharmacies and health food stores. However, more study is needed before researchers can say whether everyone would benefit from the supplement. The study was presented at the annual meeting of the American Society of Clinical Oncology. Findings presented at meetings are generally considered preliminary until they've been published in a peer-reviewed journal. Funding for the study was provided by the National Health and Medical Research Council of Australia. There's a link between sleep and young children's mental health, a new study suggests. Researchers looked at sleep patterns and the mental health of 1,000 children starting when they were toddlers. They found those with sleep disorders at age 4 were at increased risk for mental health problems such as anxiety and depression at age 6. They also discovered children with mental health problems at age 4 were at increased risk for sleep disorders at age 6. Due to the study's design, however, it wasn't possible for the researchers to prove that sleep problems caused mental health issues or vice versa. The researchers could only show an association between these factors. The study's authors say insomnia was the most common type of sleep disorder. Insomnia was diagnosed in nearly 17% of the children at age 4 and in 43% of them at age 6. The findings were published recently in the Journal of Developmental and Behavioral Pediatrics. And finally, a new study warns an antibiotic-resistant strain of the bacteria that causes typhoid fever has spread to many countries and reached epidemic levels in Africa. The study's author says the strain, H5-8, emerged in South Asia between 25 and 30 years ago and has slowly grown to become one of the predominant forms of the bacteria Salmonella typhi. Typhoid presents no direct threat to people living in the United States and Canada, where clean water supplies and good sanitation prevent exposure to the bacteria, but travelers headed to typhoid-ridden parts of Africa and Asia should make sure they receive a vaccination before heading there. In this new study, a multinational team of researchers used genetic sequencing to track the spread of antibiotic-resistant typhoid. Their findings were published online May 11th in the journal Natural Genetics.
Thanks for that, Reg. Well, our first guest, Dr. Michelle Lay, is a hepatologist at the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. It's one of the top liver health centers in North America. And she's also the author, co-author of The Liver Healing Diet. Dr. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Tell us a little bit about how you got interested in doing research on liver disease and what percentage of the population is experiencing difficulties with their liver?
I've been interested in liver disease since medical school. I find the liver fascinating because of so many things it does for our bodies. It's becoming a really big problem. It's estimated over 30 million Americans are living with this disease, with some form of liver disease. The most common one being non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. But it's fast becoming a bigger problem over the last, few decades.
What does a liver do for us? I guess we all know that we have a liver, but, it's one of those organs that we don't see. It's not physical, it's not visible to us. So what does the liver do for our body?
Like I mentioned, I found it really fascinating because the liver does a huge number of things for your body. Some of the major ones are storing and regulating energy and some vital nutrients. So anything you eat, sort of sugar, fat, everything is processed through the liver. It helps with digestion, and it sort of stores energy you don't need right away and helps sort of mobilize energy when you do need it. It's also responsible for getting rid of toxins. So if you take in something either through medication or food that's toxic to your body, the liver breaks it down and tries to prevent harm to the rest of your body. So it's sort of your first line. And then it also produces a huge number of essential proteins your body needs to function.
Dr. Lee, what does, how do we know if our liver is not functioning well? What are some of the indicators?
Yeah, so, fortunately and unfortunately, a lot of the chronic liver diseases, when you have a liver disease, it may be asymptomatic for a long time. So your liver sort of, is keeping up with the damage or the inflammation, and people may not have symptoms till very late. But some of the symptoms later on are fatigue, or if your skin turns yellow, if your eyes turn yellow, you start having swelling in your belly from fluid because your liver can't function to get rid of excess fluid. Fatigue is a common complaint too. But, when I mentioned that more than 30 million Americans have a chronic liver disease, a vast majority of them are undiagnosed. And so they're going around without knowing that they have a liver disease. And it's a lot of times diagnosed when they go to doctors and their liver tests are checked, or sometimes they try to get life insurance and their liver tests are checked and it's found to be abnormal.
Now, what is fatty liver disease itself?
I mentioned that as being the most common disease, and that's in the United States and in a number of the developed countries. It's when you develop fatty deposition in your liver, and that can happen, for the vast majority of the patients from weight gain, being overweight or obese.
So, if it's a result of obesity, we think we might even have a higher than 10% of the population having this fatty liver disease. Is this the indications that you're getting from as a result of autopsies?
So it's from a number of it's sort of a projected estimate from some studies where they sort of look at some from autopsies and some from other studies where they take a small group of patients and sort of extrapolating it to the general population.
How do we, you said that we can do some tests on the liver. How do we do those tests and what are they?
So some of the simple blood tests are, just checking what doctors will call liver enzymes. And some of the names are ALT, AST, or bilirubin. And you can see some abnormalities there. And to see if you have fatty liver disease, one of the common tests is an ultrasound also of your liver, and so that can show if there's fat in your liver.
So when would our doctor or when would a person think that perhaps they should go ask their doctor to have these tests done on their liver?
Some doctors do it as part of your routine sort of yearly exams, and sometimes they're done when you're on certain medications. Like I mentioned, the liver's responsible for sort of processing a lot of the medications you take. So it's common to have, it's sort of a possible side effect or complication for certain medications to have elevated liver tests or abnormal liver tests. So if you're on certain medications, your doctor might be monitoring your liver blood test to see if it's elevated. Sometimes it's found that way or diagnosed that way that, it's not really from the medication, but they just see that you have elevated liver tests and they start doing some investigation. And other times there is if you have any stomach pain or nausea or vomiting or fatigue or any other symptoms, your doctors might check a panel of tests and they might find that you have abnormal liver tests. Mm.
Are there certain foods that are, really hard on the liver?
Sorry, Dave, I just wanted to interrupt. So I know Asha, the co-author, has been trying to call in and has had trouble sort of calling in, but she was going to address also some of the questions.
Okay.
So she...
So Reggie's trying to get her online, yeah.
Okay. So some of the, you know, foods that I tell patients to be careful with, you know, especially with fatty liver, is sort of excess sugar and fat. Your liver has to take all the excess sugar that you're not burning off. And so that's responsible a lot of times, the excess sugar and the fat. You know, when you take too much of it, it can cause this fatty liver disease. And so those are the things we tell people to be aware of, you know, sort of sugared beverages, sodas, juices. We really try to get people to sort of avoid. Alcohol is another one that's hard on the liver as well.
So Asha is on the line, and she's a dietitian with the Transplant Institute of the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center as well. Asha, I was going to ask you, specifically in terms of liver health, are there certain foods that we should be looking at in our general diet that can really make a difference?
Sure. Hey, Dave. Some of the foods that you should definitely avoid for the sake of the liver are foods that are high in salt and foods that are high in sugar. And then, you know, if you take these foods that are high in salt and sugar, they also tend to be higher in fat content, you know, so deep fried, processed, pre-packaged, pre-made meals, you know, in general, tend to be harmful for the liver.
That sounds like the, you know, really the North American diet in general. Is there any research to show what happens when we eat this? Like, what do people experience as a result of eating this North American diet? And has there been any studies on that in terms of the liver?
Yes, plenty of studies, you know, done with salt intake and how that affects the liver, and also foods that are high in sugar, the way that your liver processes these foods. And over time, you know, these are the foods that you're putting into your body all the time. You know, these foods tend to cause damage, like overuse, you know, let's say, of the liver. And unfortunately, sending it into this kind of overdrive of the organ. And because everything we eat is processed by the liver, everything we drink, everything we eat. So if you're always giving it, you know, these harmful, you know, foods that are so processed, nothing natural in it, you know, then you are going to see that effect. And the fatty deposits on the liver occur over time. You gain weight, and the weight gain, you know, in itself has many side effects, you know, complications to somebody's health. And knowing that, you know, some of these main organs that help you, like the heart and the liver and the kidney, and you have to consider the liver health, you know, when you're putting in these foods on a daily basis, every day for years. You know, for most people, you've been eating like this for years and years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been plenty of research
done here.
If I could
also add, sorry, Asha.
Yeah.
But I think you commented on, you know, whether there are studies showing that this North American diet can be harmful. I just wanted to sort of support what Asha said, is that there's so much data that, you know, the obesity epidemic that we're facing because of this diet is causing a ton of health problems. You know, and when we see fatty liver, we don't worry just about the liver. We worry because it's an indication that your body's very stressed. And we know that when we see the fatty liver, you're at higher risk for heart disease, diabetes, you know, high cholesterol, and sort of the whole host of health problems. And that's been a big issue, you know, and we know that if you take in a lot of fructose, what we mentioned, it's one of the sugars, and that's found in sort of sodas and juices and other things, that you have more inflammation and fat in the liver with that as well.
We're talking with Dr. Michelle Lay. She's a medical doctor, and Asha Kasarani. They're the authors of the Liver Health Diet. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be finding out what you can do to improve your liver health and stay healthy.